Please turn with me in your copies of God's Word to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. And this morning we come to the last of what our confession refers to as the occasional parts of worship, those acts of worship which we are to take part in when such occasion arises. And last time we considered days of solemn public fastings. Well, this morning we take up somewhat the opposite of those days, looking now to days of public thanksgivings. So with that in mind, please give your attention to the reading of God's most holy word from Psalm chapter 107, and I will be reading the entirety of the chapter. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses, and he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor and fell down. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. And he brought them out of the darkness and the shadow of death, and break their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their souls abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, and they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro, and stagger like drunken men, like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into standing water, and dry ground into water springs. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes, and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Thus far, the reading of God's word, let us go to him asking for his blessing upon it. O Lord, we do ask that thou wouldst bless this word which was read unto us this day. This word of truth, this word of life. O Lord, feed us with this word. And as the word of God has gone forth, we trust that it will never return void. Let it penetrate into our hearts so as to convict us of our own want, our own need, our own sinfulness, our own need for Christ in our hearts. O Lord, we ask that thou wouldst use thy servant this day to boldly proclaim this word of truth, to show us what thou hast commanded of us here in this psalm. O Lord, as we have prayed numerous times throughout this series, we ask that thou wouldst show us areas in our own lives, individually and corporately, where we need repentance and reformation. Conform us after thy word, O Lord. So, Lord, we ask that the preaching today would not be man's opinion or preferences, but would be what thou hast commanded in thy word. Let it not be in the enticing words of man's wisdom, but be in the demonstration of the Holy Spirit and of power. O Lord, feed us this day, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Well, unfortunately, the modern church has a serious problem when it comes to this practice of public thanksgivings. As we saw last time, there are those occasions in our lives and in the life of the church, and even the life of the nation, that warrant called times of prayer and fasting. And most Christians understand this, though it is a far too neglected practice. But what many Christians fail to realize is that there are those occasions as well which warrant called times of public thanksgivings. We understand our need to cry out to the Lord in our distress. We understand our need to cry out to him during times of great pestilence or war, when the hand of God's judgment is upon us as His people. And yet, we very rarely see the need to go before the Lord as the corporate people and praise Him in a special way for His great acts of kindness towards us, for His providential deliverances, for the blessing which He so freely bestows upon us as His people. And this is a very sad truth. It's a reason in itself for lament and repentance, because it is an egregious thing for us to be the beneficiaries of the mercies of God and not render unto Him the praise that is due His name. And this seems to be a sign of our times. We as a society are an individualistic, ungrateful people. We as society are more prone to attribute the providences of God to luck rather than to Jehovah. And unfortunately, this mentality has made its way into the church as well. As society has become more and more unthankful, so too has the church. Just a few decades ago, the practice of days of public thanksgiving was much more prominent both in society and in the church. And so it's time that we recover this historic and biblical practice as the people of God, praying that it will then extend out into society as a whole. So we'll take up this theme of days of public thanksgivings, and we'll do so under three heads. First, the reasons for thanksgivings. Next, the calling of days of thanksgivings. And finally, the practice of public thanksgivings. So let us turn our attention first to the reasons for thanksgivings. Here in Psalm 107, we are presented with several reasons given by the psalmist for why we must give thanks. And the primary reason for giving thanks is because of who the Lord is. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Why? For He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Have you ever just given thanks unto the Lord for who He is? Think about it for a second. He is the Lord of glory. He is the God of all creation. He is the sustainer of all things. He is the giver of life. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. This is who your God is. And that alone ought to be a cause for you to give thanks unto Him. But not only are those things true of Him and worthy of your praise, but He is good, and His mercy endureth forever. Charles Spurgeon writes, "Compared to Him, there is none good, no, not one. But He is essentially, perpetually, superlatively, infinitely good. And we are the perpetual partakers of His goodness, and therefore ought above all His creatures to magnify His name." And the primary way in which His goodness and mercies have been made known unto you is in his redeeming you from your bondage to sin and death. And so the great salvation that you've experienced in the Lord is another reason for you to give thanks unto him. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed out of the hand of the enemy and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. This is perhaps the second greatest reason to be thankful unto the Lord. Recall the depths of your sin and misery, how you were once dead in your trespasses and sins, and you were made alive through the quickening work of the Holy Spirit. See what you have been saved from: eternal damnation and torment in the fiery pit of hell. Something which you very much deserved. Remember the price of your redemption, that the Father spared not his only Son and sent him into this world to bear the weight of your sins and suffer the wrath of God in your stead. How can you meditate on these things and not be overwhelmed with such immense gratitude for the redemption which you so greatly enjoy? But there's much more to be thankful for than just those two things. These are the primary blessings of the Lord, but they are not the only blessings of the Lord which you enjoy. Four times throughout this psalm, we see the phrase, "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses." The Lord does not simply redeem you and then let you be. No, he is active in your life, and he brings times of great deliverances, and so these are occasions for thanksgivings as well. The psalmist gives us seven instances of the Lord's deliverance of his people, the first of which is from exile. The Lord gathers his people out of the hands of their enemies, not just from the enemy of sin, but out of their physical enemies as well. Think of how many times throughout Scripture that the people of God are brought out of captivity, out of the hand of the enemy. Recall the great work of deliverance that the people of God experienced in being brought out of the land of Egypt. Think of the mercy and kindness that the Lord displayed in bringing his people back into the promised land following the Babylonian captivity. And then there are many other instances of God delivering his people from their enemies. But this isn't something that only happened in the Old Testament period. He's delivered the church from the oppression of the Roman Empire. He's caused the gospel to spread throughout the world and for churches to be established even in the midst of great persecution. 500 years ago, he delivered the church out of the hand of the enemy, the Antichrist, as we saw Reformation come about. Friends, this is something that we ought to be thankful for. And when those times of deliverance from our enemies take place, it is the duty, it is our duty to join together in days of public thanksgivings. One day the church will be delivered from the oppression of communistic regimes like what we see in China. One day the church will be delivered from the persecution that she experiences at the hands of the Mohammedans. One day, such a great deliverance from the humanistic culture that surrounds us will happen. And when those days come, we are obligated to observe a day of public thanksgiving. Next, we see deliverance from the bondage of slavery. And yes, we have each experienced this in a form as we were delivered from the bondage of slavery to sin. But think of those times in which God has delivered His people from physical chains of slavery. Think of our own nation when slavery was abolished. What a glorious and gracious act of God towards our nation. And for that, we must be thankful. Think of our covenanter forefathers who were sold into slavery in the 17th century and how now, because of the Lord's deliverance, we don't fear the chains any longer, but we are free to meet here and publicly worship Jehovah according to His Word. Even today, some of our spiritual brothers and sisters are in chains for their faith. And so we must pray that the Lord would work deliverance to them so that they too may rejoice in freedom from the bonds of slavery. Oh, that we would be thankful for deliverances from slavery, both in our own lives as well as in our heritage. And then we see that we are to be thankful for deliverances from sickness and pestilence. We just went through a time in which a sickness not only went throughout our land, but went throughout the entirety of the world. I know that there are many who never contracted that virus, and that it was not nearly as dangerous as it was once originally feared. But we must not forget the great number of people who lost their lives to that disease. And now we stand here over 3 years later, and it is but a thing of the past. The Lord has delivered us from the pestilence that swept across the whole earth. I know that back in 2020, many presbyteries called for days of prayer and fasting to stay the hand of God's judgment that was upon us. And we may never know if that was the reason that the virus was not as severe as was expected. But how many presbyteries have called for days of public thanksgiving for deliverance from the virus and for Jehovah not causing greater calamity to fall upon us? We must not neglect the Lord's providence in these things, but instead we must express our sincere thanksgiving. The next reason for given for thanksgiving is deliverance from dangers. The psalmist gives us the imagery of sailors being delivered from a storm. Recall our series through Jonah, how the Lord delivered those sailors from the great tempest that had come upon the sea as a judgment against that wayward prophet. What did those sailors do following the great deliverance that they experienced? They worshiped and praised Jehovah, offering thanks unto Him. This must be what we do as well. When the storms of this life, whether physical or spiritual, toss us to and fro, and then the Lord sees fit in His loving kindness to deliver us from so great a tempest, We must offer thanks unto Him. What comes to my mind when I think of this is back in 2011 in Alabama, one of the worst storms in our history ripped across that state. There were tornadoes that were over a mile wide that leveled entire towns. Numerous lives were lost in the wake of that destruction. And yet the Lord saw fit to spare so many from the dangers of that storm. How many churches do you think held Thanksgiving services following those events? None that I know of. Friends, we must be thankful for the Lord delivering us from the dangers that we face. And then there's deliverances from the barrenness of land. And we don't experience this a lot here in northern Illinois. But there are many places in which this is a real problem. I have many friends who live in the southwestern part of our country who've publicly asked for prayer that the Lord would bring rain during times of great drought. And then the Lord brings that rain and He replenishes the earth. And when He does that, we ought to acknowledge His work and give praise unto Him for His provision. Now, I know this seems like such a little thing, something that we so often take for granted, but if we are unthankful for the Lord in these little things, He will quickly remove His hand of blessing from us. And we've seen this in many lands across the globe that were once lush and fertile lands that are now desolate wastelands. Let us never take the Lord's mercies, His deliverances, no matter how seemingly small, let us never take them for granted. The sixth deliverance that we see in our text has to do with the magistrate. We read in verse 40, "He poureth contempt upon princes and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way." The Lord in His own due timing strikes down wicked rulers and wicked laws. We pray nearly every week that Jehovah would strike down the wicked magistrate in our land and give us good and godly men to rule over us in the fear of God. And we trust that one day this will happen. And when it does, there will be great cause for rejoicing. But even in the meantime, we still see this cause for thanksgiving taking place. I want you to think of the overturning of unjust and wicked laws in our land. Think of how a couple of years ago the Supreme Court overturned, or last year the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, something that nearly everyone thought would never happen. And yes, I understand that abortion is still legal and it's practiced in many places throughout our nation, especially in our very own state. But we must not neglect to see that the Lord has spared thousands of children's lives through the ruling of that court. When we see these things happen, when princes are struck down and wicked, unjust laws are overturned, we must give thanks to the Lord. And lastly, we see the lifting up of the poor from their affliction. Some of you here may have experienced this in some measure. Friends, our God is a God who cares for the orphans and the widows, for the poor and the needy. Whenever He sees fit to lift those who are in need out of their impoverished state, then the people of God must respond to this. Those who have been delivered out of their poverty must respond to the Lord in thanksgiving. And we as the church should be longing for this. We should be praying that this would come about. We should be striving to see the orphans in our land truly cared for and nourished, brought into a godly Christian household to be raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We should be striving to see the widows taken care of in their lowly estate. We should do whatever we can to bring the poor and needy up from the depths which they have found themselves in. And the Lord, who cares for the least of these, He will cause a great deliverance. It is then your duty to render thanks unto Him. I know that I've gone long on this first point, but it's important for you to see the manifold reasons for which you have occasion to give thanks unto the Lord. And when these occasions arise, it is the obligation of those who are in authority, both in the civil realm as well as the ecclesiastical, to call upon the people to give thanks unto the Lord. We see that it is the duty of the civil magistrate to recognize the providences of God in such occasions and to call for a day of public thanksgivings. Remember in the book of Esther, when the Jews were delivered from the evil schemes of Haman and King Ahasuerus, he granted Mordecai the ability to call for such a day of thanksgivings. Esther 9, verses 20 to 22, we read, "And Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters to all the Jews that were in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, both nigh and far, to establish this among them, that they should keep the 14th day of the month Adar and the 15th day of the same yearly, as the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies, and the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to joy, from mourning into a good day, that they should make them days of feasting and joy, and of sending portions one to another and gifts to the poor." Now it needs to be said that this celebration, which is known as Purim, it was not the establishment of a man-made holy day. No, only Jehovah has the authority to establish holy days to be observed. What we have here is instead an example of responding to the providences of God and the deliverances of His people by celebrating a day of public thanksgiving. It's a national holiday, if you will, a civil holiday, if you will. Purim is more akin to the 4th of July here in America than it is to the holy days of old that we saw under the Old Covenant. It's recognizing the Lord's providence and giving thanks unto Him. And this has been the practice as well here in America. We've done this in our past. This is our heritage. In 1864, President Lincoln recognized the blessings of God and the deliverances from great dangers, even in the midst of the war. And so he called for a day to be observed by all my fellow citizens, wherever they may then be, as a day of thanksgiving and praise to Almighty God, the beneficent Creator and Ruler of the universe. That's our president. And this was a common thing that happened throughout our nation, and it has continued even into the modern era, though throughout the years it's become less and less in recognition of the Lord's providences. In 2001, President Bush called on the people to assemble in their homes, places of worship, or community centers to reinforce ties of family and community, express our profound thanks for the many blessings we enjoy, and reach out in true gratitude and friendship to our friends around the world. Each year, the president calls upon the nation to observe a day of public thanksgivings for the blessings that we have enjoyed as a nation over the past year. And we, as those who are under their lawful authority, those who are under those who are the ministers of God in the magisterial realm, we are called to join together and observe these days of public thanksgivings, even if the call to do so neglects to recognize the providences of God in these blessings. This is why Thanksgiving as a national day of observance is something that many Christians, especially the Reformed who denounce holy days, still observe. Because it's not a man-made tradition, it's instead a duty that is required of us by the Lord. But it's not just the magistrate who has the obligation to call for days of public thanksgiving when such occasion arises. The ecclesiastical leaders are to do so as well. There are many providences of the Lord, many blessings, many deliverances, which are particular to the church and not to the nation. And so the elders of Christ's church, in reading the providences of God displayed, are to call the people to observe days of public thanksgivings. We read in verses 31 and 32, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt Him also in the congregation of the people, and praise Him in the assembly of the elders." The people of God are to gather together on these days of public thanksgivings, and they are to exalt and praise the Lord for the blessings which He has poured out upon them. And who is it that calls the people of God to gather together to worship? It's God Himself through the voice of His ministers. As the Lord deals with His people corporately, so too must the people come before God corporately. When special occasions of corporate blessing arise within the church, we ought to come together corporately to give thanks unto God for those blessings. We read in verse 22, "And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing." This ought to call to mind Hebrews 13:15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. This is why public thanksgivings are occasional parts of worship, because the Lord so intimately ties thanksgiving to offering the sacrifice of praise unto him. Now, I don't know if we here at Westminster have ever done this before, but looking back on the great many blessings that the Lord has poured out on us just over this past year, I hope that we will consider calling a day of public thanksgiving as a congregation. And when we do, you are to join. You are to join together as the corporate beneficiaries of those blessings, and you are to give thanks unto the Lord. And lastly, now let us briefly consider the practice of thanksgivings. How are we to observe these days of public thanksgivings? Well, I think it's helpful for us to take advice from the Westminster Directory for Public Worship on this matter. The first thing it says is that we are to prepare ourselves for this occasion. Friends, every act of worship requires a due preparation before approaching the throne room of grace. And then once you've prepared to enter into the Lord's presence, there is to be a corporate gathering of the people for worship. The directory mentions having a morning and evening service so that the entirety of the day is focused upon the manifold blessings of the Lord. During the worship service, there is to be the singing of psalms, even more singing than what is normally done. What does James 5:13 say? Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. This is the sacrifice of praise which we are to render unto the Lord, the fruit of our lips. And so on such an occasion, our worship service would be filled with the merriment of psalm singing. There ought to be prayers given to the Lord, extolling Him, praising Him for the blessings that He has poured out upon us. And of course, there must be the preaching of the Word, because it is through the preaching of the Word that the blessings of the Lord are made known unto us in an even greater way. All of this is to be done with the seriousness that accompanies public worship of God. It must not be a light matter or be done frivolously. But it also must be done in a joyous manner, being glad for that which we have received. And then following the morning worship, but prior to the evening worship, the day is to be spent with the people of God in times of joyous merriment. We saw in Esther that on that day of thanksgiving, they had a feast with one another. That should be what takes place among us as well. We should partake of the glorious bounty which the Lord has graciously blessed us with. Days of thanksgiving are to be somewhat the opposite of days of fasting, where when fasting you deprive yourself of food for a spiritual, religious reason. When giving thanks, You feast upon the fat things of the Lord that He has blessed you with. Now you must be careful not to let this feasting turn into an excuse for gluttony, for excess and riot, for drunkenness. It's a time of rejoicing in the Lord, not a time to indulge your carnal desires of your flesh and the belly. Friends, it's a time of rejoicing in the Lord with your brothers and sisters as you express your sincere gratitude for what He has done for you. And then the day is closed with yet another worship service so that this day of thanksgivings begins and concludes in the presence of Jehovah. I pray that we will soon be able to observe such a day so that we may give thanks unto the Lord for the wonders that He has done for us here. Brothers and sisters, it's a shame upon the church today that this practice is so widely neglected. See the manifold blessings of the Lord which He has poured out upon you both individually and corporately. See that it is not of your own doing that these things have come about, but instead it is the doing of the Lord as His hand of providence causes these things to come about. In seeing the blessing of the Lord and His providential hand in such things, let us join together as the people of God, giving thanks in all things. Let the indictment never be brought against us. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Instead, let us give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let us pray. O Lord, we come unto Thee, and we do thank Thee for Thy manifold blessings, which has been poured out upon us so graciously. O Lord, we confess that we are an ungrateful people, that we don't render unto Thee thanks and praise as we ought, that we are slow to recognize that Thou art the provider of all good things. O Lord, forgive us of our ingratitude. And let us ever strive towards being a thankful people, thanking Thee and praising Thee for the wondrous works of Thy hands. O Lord, we ask that Thou wouldst show us the great many ways in which Thou hast blessed us. Show us in our own personal lives. Show us corporately as the church. O Lord, there are some things that are very easily and readily seen. What a great and beautiful thing it is that Thou hast caused us to increase in number so greatly over the past year, that we have added 9 new members here as a congregation, that Thou continuest to bring us visitors. O Lord, Thou hast been beyond good to us. And so we as a congregation have much to be thankful for as well. O Lord, let us see the need to do this, to render thanks unto Thee in the way that thou hast prescribed. That we would exalt thee in the congregation of the people, and that we would praise thee in the assembly of the elders. That we would sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare thy works with rejoicing. O Lord, let this be so. Let us meditate upon these things as we continue throughout this day that thou hast given us. O Lord, bless the remainder of our worship together, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.